Glad you're here today. This is our third Sunday in Advent, the third Sunday in the Christmas season. We're talking about the protagonist, how God became the lead actor, how God the Creator came to this earth, Emmanuel, God with us. I read a story just this week about it was Christmas Sunday, and after the service, the pastor said to Jim, it's good to see you. He said, you need to join the Lord's army and be here every Sunday. And he said, well, Pastor, I am in the Lord's army. And the pastor said, well, why do we only see you on Christmas and Easter? And he leaned forward and whispered, he said, I'm in the secret service. Now, there's no secret service in the Lord's army. No secret service in the Lord's army. We're going to see today that God's word is light, that he came, he is the light of the world. And when his light is in us, we will shine brightly for him. So our passage this morning is from John chapter 1 and Galatians chapter 4, that at just the right time, God came. At just the right time. Timing is everything, isn't it? I mean, you can be just a few seconds late for something and you can really miss the boat. So timing is important, and we're going to see how at just the right time God came to provide us with a Savior. So let's read, first of all, in John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 and then verses 9 through 14. And then we'll turn over to Galatians 4 and read verses 4 through 7. In the beginning was the Word. If you're looking at that, you'll notice that's with a capital W, the Logos, the Word. John used the Word to describe Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Verse 4 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Skip down to verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh. There's the incarnation. And made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. There's the invitation. The Word came full of grace and truth. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. A man named Robert McGinsey in 1932 had just attended a Christmas Eve worship service in his church. And he had to walk the last several blocks home to his one-room apartment. And as he was walking to his apartment, he noticed there were a lot of Christmas parties going on. He even had to step over a couple of folks that had already passed out on the street. And he began to think, do most of these folks even know what Christmas is all about? Do they even know that the perfect one, the Son of God, came into this world? And when he got to his little apartment, he took out an envelope and he wrote these words on the back of it, which has become a very popular spiritual. Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you was. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes was blind. We couldn't see. We didn't know who you was. Aren't you thankful this morning that we're here and God is illuminating his word so that we can know. We can know who he is and his plan for our lives. Let's look in Galatians chapter 4 and we'll talk about when a plan comes together. Aren't you thankful that God can always make his plan, his purpose come together? Back in the 80s, maybe the 90s, the A-Team. Yeah, some of you might remember that series. And And was it Hannibal who always said, I love it when a plan comes together? We're going to see today how God brought a plan together, the plan of redemption. Galatians 4, verse 4 through 7. But when the set time had fully come, or in the fullness of time, one translation says, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Verse 6 says, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Verse 7 says, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Did you know that this morning? That you're an heir of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for coming into this dark world. We thank you that you are light. And Lord, may your light so shine in us that others will see our good works and give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Lord, let us be determined not to ever even for one moment contemplate being in a secret service. But Lord, may we be open in our devotion and our loyalty to you. Lord, let your word transform our lives today. May the written word become the living word. And Lord, may you by your Spirit's grace go down deep and just turn us upside down, right side up in an upside down world. May we be all that you want us to be. Lord, permit me to preach this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Christmas can be a sad time. It can be a very stressful time. But I know because God's word reveals he wants it to be a sacred time in our lives. This past Tuesday morning, I went to the credit union and I was standing in line, and two rows over, there's a gentleman. He was talking to the teller, and he was talking loud enough where everybody in the whole credit union could hear him. He said, I got divorced 3 years ago. Christmas can be a sad time. And he said, "I my family never gets together anymore. I never see them." And I was beginning to, he was wanting somebody to talk to. That was obvious. He was sharing with the teller all this information. He said, I hadn't seen my daughter in 2 years. I wrote all this down when I got back to my office so I wouldn't forget it. I haven't seen my daughter in 2 years. He said, she called me this week and said that she was 9 months pregnant. I sensed a lot of mixed emotions in that gentleman. Because Christmas without family, without relationships, without the King being Lord of our lives, it can be a sad season. I've read that most people get depressed at Christmas. It can be a sad time, but it also can be very stressful with all the things has to be done. But we're going to see this morning as we look in these two passages, we try and time together, that God wants it to be a very special time for you, that we'll never, ever, ever forget his gift of love, his gift of mercy, his gift of saving grace. Let's don't put off responding. Methodists have been known for couple of things over the years, generations, justification, sanctification, but it seems like lately we're also known for procrastination. let's don't put off what God is calling us to do today. Don't wait, because the Bible says in Hebrews, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God shows us his favor. So I want to talk about three words this morning as we look at this Galatians 4 passage. Three words that will help us break it down, and I think remember what God is trying to say to us. The first word is preparation. So let's reread again verse 4 as we think about the word preparation. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. The set time, the right time, the best time for Messiah coming. When that time came, God sent his son. You can't take Christ out of Christmas. Although a lot of different agencies are trying to take Christ out of Christmas, you can't take Christ out of Christmas, because God sent his son. That's what Christmas is. That'd be like trying to take the heat out of fire. to take Christ out of Christmas or to take the wet out of water. You can't take Christ out of Christmas. It'd be kind of like taking the notes out of music. You can't do that. Or oxygen out of air. There's no way that you can have Christmas without Christ, because that's what Christmas is. That Emmanuel, God sent his son. The last 2 weeks out of Isaiah, we've looked at those prophecies of how the virgin was going to be with child, and Emmanuel, God with us, was coming. And so we celebrate that again this morning, that Emmanuel, God, is with us. But at just the right time. You see, a lot of preparation had gone into Christ coming, the Messiah coming. Religiously, there had been a lot of preparation. You can go back to the very beginning of scriptures in Genesis. In Genesis, God called Abram. God gave him a name change. And God told Abram, "Abram, I want you to follow me, and through you, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. Abram, you're going to be the one that I'm going to choose, and later all the nations and all the earth are going to be blessed because of your faith, because the Messiah is going to come through your lineage. And God prepared his people, the people of Israel, all those thousands of years to be ready for the coming of the Messiah. Now, a lot of times they didn't follow. A lot of times they started worshiping gods of those people who were around them, and finally God just let them go into Babylonian captivity, and they lost everything. But when they came out of Babylon, out of captivity, they were monotheistic from that day forward. They worshiped the Lord God. So God was preparing the time religiously. He was preparing the time culturally. In 350 BC, Alexander the Great took 12 years to conquer the known world. And everything changed culturally. Philosophy, even the common language that everybody understood, things change culturally. Things change politically. It was the right time politically. Caesar Augustus said, everybody, because the whole world now was under the control of the Roman Empire, Caesar Augustus said, everybody's got to come back to where you were born and register. There's a census to be taken. God even used Caesar Augustus to fulfill the prophecy that sovereign God had been planning for years and years and years to bring the Messiah to Bethlehem to be born, where it had been predicted by Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. All that came together at the fullness of time, at just the perfect time. God sent his son. What does that tell us this morning? That tells me that we need to make sure that we allow God to be in control of our lives, because as I mentioned earlier, timing is everything. And if you're waiting this morning, if you're waiting on anything, just remember that God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. Somebody, myself included, I need to hear that. God's timing is perfect. So whatever you're waiting on this morning, if you're waiting to be married one day, if you're waiting hoping for children, if you're waiting to get past that dead-end job, if whatever you're waiting for this morning, just remember that our God has perfect timing. He's God. Too many times we want to get way ahead of God's timing, don't we? We pray prayers that, looking back on, and we realize, boy, if God had answered the way I wanted him to, I'd be in big trouble today. God's got perfect timing, and his wisdom is complete. His knowledge is beyond us understanding. So what are we to do? We're to wait, because in the fullness of time, God will come. He will come to us, and he will help us in our time of need. The second word I want us to look at for just a moment is purpose. Let's look in verse 5. In verse 5 here in Galatians 4, we see that God certainly has a purpose for our lives. Let me reread verse 5. Verse 4 tells that God sent his son, born to redeem us, verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption to sonship. Two primary purposes listed here in this verse. to redeem our lives and to adopt us into his family. Galatians chapter 3, if we'd taken the time to go back and look at that, that chapter is explaining how we were under the law. That the law was like a tutor, like a schoolmaster, the King James calls it. And we were under the law. And it doesn't do us any good to say, well, I'm not under the law. That'd be like living in the United States of America and say, well, I'm not under the law of the land. We are, whether we want to be or not. And so Galatians, Paul is helping the believers in Galatians understand that they are under the law. And the law has revealed to you and me, even though it came 430 years after the promise, and praise God, we're getting to go back to the promise this morning that the Messiah is coming. But the law came 430 years after the promise, and the law simply reveals who we are, that we're fallen, that we are bound by the law, that we cannot live up to the law, that we've all committed sins. And if you just committed one sin in your life, that'd be enough for you to have broken the whole law, Paul teaches in Galatians. It'd be kind of like, I want you to focus on a bullseye. In your mind this morning, I want you to see a bullseye, and you're going to be an archer. You're going to shoot the bow and arrow at the bullseye 30 paces, and you've got to shoot 10 arrows, and you've got to hit the bullseye with every one of those arrows. So you draw back, and you let that first arrow fly. Boom, bullseye. You go, whew. Well, I hit the bullseye. I haven't broken the law yet. And you do it a second time. Bullseye. Whew. 10 times, first day, all bullseye. You breathe a sigh of relief. Well, I did it. Now tomorrow, you know what's next? 10 times, you got to hit the bullseye. Perfect. If you miss just one, you break the law. What the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're all fallen, that we've all missed the bullseye. Galatians 3:13 says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Somebody say praise God. Aren't you thankful for that? Let's give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Christ, he came, he was born to redeem us from the curse of the law. The law had put a curse upon us, and we could not overcome it. We could not live up to the calling, but Christ became a curse for us. He died on the cross to remove the curse from us so that we could be complete in him. When our children, Daniel and Rebecca, they're 14 months apart. When they were in third, fourth grade, about that age, I remember one time I told Daniel, Daniel, you've disobeyed. You're going to get a spanking. And so I took him away from the rest of the family and shut the door behind us. And for some reason, I don't know why, I said, Daniel, you deserve a whipping today. You know, you disobeyed. I said, but I'm going to spank myself today. I'm going to take the whipping for you. So he's sitting there, and I take off my belt, and I spank myself on my leg about 5 times. Not easy. I mean, it hurt. And Daniel, our 8 or 9 year old son, he saw me. And he just broke down in tears. He sobbed. It broke his heart. Because he knew that he deserved the whipping. But I took the punishment for him. A few weeks later, Rebecca, our daughter, she had done so. I said, Rebecca, you may have to get a spanking. She said, you're going to take the spanking from me like you did for Daniel? And you have to. Children are different, aren't they? And Rebecca's here this morning, and I'm thankful she's a godly mom and a great wife. Children are different. God took the spanking for us. I hope it breaks our heart. That he became a curse. That he went to the cross. You see, you cannot take Christmas and the cross and separate them. Jesus came to die on the cross to be the curse to remove us from condemnation. If we're in Christ, we're free. We're redeemed. So that leads us to the next thought. Look in verse 13. It says, he came to redeem us. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, the Son of Man came. Jesus came into this world, he said, not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus gave his life as a ransom to redeem us. To redeem means to be bought back, to be purchased out of. Jesus was the ransom. Jesus was the money that was used, so to speak, to purchase our freedom and our salvation. So the purpose of the Son of God coming was to redeem us and to adopt us into his family. We're saved, and he says, I want you to be part of my family. That's why you hear us talking about believe, belonging, and becoming. We believe in redemption. We receive justification. We receive the gift of the Spirit, and now we belong. We're part of the family of God. We're adopted. Isn't it amazing that God will adopt us into his family? 2 months ago, I had the privilege of going to an adoption ceremony in Morgan County. One of our couples, Wes and Tina, they were adopting their two foster children that they'd had for almost the entire time I've been here, almost 3 years. So we went to the judge's courtroom in Decatur, and a very formal ceremony. But just like that, those two young children had a name change. Now they're Mackenzie and Gus. They've been adopted into the Shelton family. Permanent. Aren't you thankful for adoption? Well, on a spiritual level, God redeems our life. He says, come on, I want you to be part of my family. And he adopts us into his family. And we're his children. So now let's look. The last word in verse 6 and 7 is the word privileges. There's a couple of special privileges that come out of the purpose of God, redemption and adoption. So verse 6 says, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. When we, by faith, receive Christ as Savior, God gives us his Spirit. He gives his Spirit in our hearts. And it says the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but you're God's child. Anybody want to be a slave this morning to sin? Anybody want to be a child of God? Amen. I found this by a pastor named Bob Kaler. On November the 9th this past year, he preached a message at the Transformed Conference. It was the fourth global meeting of Wesleyan Methodists who are praying for renewal and revival. Here's part of his message he shared to thousands of United Methodists that day when they met in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He said, I did one of those ancestry DNA tests. Anybody ever done one of those? He says, that test where you send in a small capsule of your spit and $100, and they send you back a multi-page, full-color profile that tells you who's been swimming in your personal gene pool. He says, it used to be that if you had a striking resemblance to one of your parents or grandparents, that people would say that you were the spitting image. Who knew that we would one day use actual spit to find that out? The spitting image. Okay. And then he said this. One of Ancestry.com's slogans is, everyone has a fascinating story. We'll help you find yours. Well, he says, our goal, and he's talking about the church, is to help everyone find themselves in the story. Do you hear that? The goal of the Word coming to us is so we can find our place in the story. The protagonist, the Creator, the God came as Savior to help us find our way. And then he says, friends, you are royalty. Your destiny has always been to be a part of the royal family of God. This is the good news we proclaim to all those who wrestle with their identity, who think they are a mistake. The King has been looking for you. Lost though you may have been, to give you a royal inheritance of abundant, everlasting life. The King is looking for you to give you abundant, everlasting life. See, if someone said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist.
If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was for forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. Emmanuel, God with us. And I'm thankful that God didn't give up on this world, but he said, I will go become one of them so that they can become one of us. So the privileges, we're his children. And then it goes on to say that we're his heirs. When you're adopted into the family, you get all the rights of the father and the mother, and it's yours one day. And that's what this passage is saying. We're no longer slaves, we're children, and because we're children, we're heirs of the king. Have you realized that? Have you claimed your inheritance? About 30 years ago, when I was in seminary, my professor of preaching, Ralph Lewis, played a tape, an old cassette tape, of Fred Craddock. Fred Craddock was one of the best teachers of preachers of that generation. Fred Craddock was from Oklahoma. He was teaching at Emory in Atlanta, and a lot of folks were listening to Fred Craddock stories. Fred Craddock told this true story. He and his wife went from Atlanta up to the Smoky Mountains on a little vacation, and they were eating in a restaurant one morning breakfast, and they noticed an older white-haired gentleman walking around talking to all the folks in the restaurant, and he came over to them, and Fred Craddock had told his wife, said, I hope he doesn't want to talk. I just would like a peaceful meal. But he came over and said, where are you folks from? And Fred Craddock said, well, I'm from Oklahoma. He said, what do you do? He said, well, he didn't want to tell him he was a preacher. He said, I'm a seminary professor. He said, oh, you teach preachers how to preach. Can I tell you a story? And he pulled up a chair and sat down. And he began to tell his life story. That he was born in a little rural town in Tennessee. And he never knew his dad. This was back in a time where that was not easy. Just his mom, just he and his mom. Kids didn't want to have anything to do with him at school. He said, I ate lunch a lot of times by myself. He said, but in our little town, the church got a new preacher. And he said, I'd never been to church, but I went and heard that preacher preach. He's a tall, tall preacher. Had a beard, had one of those long tail coats in the back. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Said there was something about him that scared me to death, but something just kept drawing me back. And because everybody looked at me and wondered whose son he is, he said, I would always slip in late and leave early. But said there was one Sunday I really got engrossed into the preacher's sermon, and I forgot about the timing, and all of a sudden the benediction had been given, and people got in the row, and I couldn't get out. I was stuck. And all of a sudden, I felt a big hand on my shoulder. And I looked around, and it was that tall preacher. And he said, son, you're a child of... And he said, I was just waiting. What is he going to say next? You're a child of God. Go claim your inheritance. And that old white-haired gentleman looked at Fred Craddock and his wife and said, I was born that day. And Fred Craddock said to him, what did you say your name was? He said, Ben Hooper. And Fred Craddock began to think, Ben Hooper. My dad told me the story of twice elected, illegitimate born governor of Tennessee named Ben Hooper. Ben Hooper, go claim your inheritance today. My goodness. A lot of you look like a child of God to me. There's a spitting image. You've got his DNA. Would you claim that inheritance today? Would you allow the great God of this glorious world to fill you with purpose and with those privileges? Where we know we're not a slave any longer. We're his child. He's redeemed me, and he's let me be an heir. The Spirit has given me abundant life. I'm an heir of God, and I praise God for the privilege of that good news this morning. Let's stand together. I want to ask the band to come up, and we're going to listen to them for just a moment. And I'm going to come around and stand in front of the pulpit. And if there's anybody here this morning who would just like to say, yes, I want to be a child of, I want to claim my inheritance. I've never done that. I've been in church all my life, or you may say this is the first Sunday I've ever been to church. But today I want to claim my inheritance. So I'm going to ask if you'd like to do that. I'm not going to stand down here long. But if you'd like to come and just claim your inheritance, come and shake my hand and we'll have a short prayer together and we'll give God thanks. You're standing, if there's anybody unsure about your own salvation, but today God has spoken to you and you want to know that the light has come into you. Would you come as they play?